Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape.
Thank you so much for joining us for part two of From Carpool to College special guest, Coach Jerry Flora. And he's going to walk us through athletic training and combines, recruiting, and talk to us about what it takes. Tara, you were talking about with one of our episodes about careers, right? About our students who are interested in maybe in baseball.
Oh, when I took Lucas?
Yes.
Oh, well, my son is and his buddies are all baseball players, and they all want to be, you know, in the MLB and whatnot. But I said to them, we've got to go see other options too. So let's go to the MLB studios and tour it and see all the different components of working in the industry and also seeing like possibilities. So you can still wind up with a love for the, you know, you carry your love for the sport, but you do it in a different way if you don't, say, even get recruited in college or what have you. So I think it's important for parents to just kind of keep those things in mind as well.
Well, it's funny you say that because you first started off talking about how, like, you thought that I like to do things for the kids, like the student athlete type of thing. Like, that's the vibe you get. So to piggyback that, one of my golden rules in college was we built a huge student worker program. So they were on work study, and they would say, okay, you can have 8 to 10 kids. So we would hire 8 to 10 kids, and it's amazing. You give someone a title and some gear, and they'll run through a wall for you, and they'll do whatever. So we had, like, you know, I had director of football operations. We had someone in charge of video operations. We had someone in charge of equipment. We had someone in charge of working with strength and conditioning. Someone was doing nutrition, even if it was just researching nutritional stuff to have at games. So this one kid who worked for me, who wasn't even a film guy. We needed a film guy. Anthony Piatanza was with me for 3 years. And the perfect example of what you're talking about, got him his first year. I don't even think he knew what end the camera was. But he had a connection at the New York Giants. Long story short, so Anthony was a senior. So needless to say, he did an amazing job for us. An internship popped open with the New York Giants. Dave called me. I said, Anthony would be great. He's like, well, have him come down. We're interviewing interns. He said, I got to interview about 80 people. He'll be the first one we interview. So great. He goes down, he interviews. He's mentored him, and we let him go with it. And then, boom, he got a job. he goes, we like you, but we need someone that knows. He ended up getting a job with the Giants. He worked with Dave and his staff for years. And in the NFL, I think it's X amount of years where you get part of the pension system. So he got that point and beyond. He left the NFL, went back to Rutgers because he wanted to be in a state position. So he worked with Coach Ciano at Rutgers and their department, and at some point left and now has gone on. The moral of the story is you have a young man that started as a film guy, similar to what you're saying, and worked his way up to the point where he's got a full pension with the NFL. He's got a full state pension, and I don't even think he's more than 40 years old with a wife and 2 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's a perfect reason to a kid that wanted to play football, but realized, you know, football is not just for me. How do I? So I've been like that my whole life. I mean, I have a kid that's in Cortland right now that, you know, we made as our director of football operations at Sleepy Hollow. And people are like, what's that? And, you know, they were like, you know, we never heard of that before. And I said, those guys usually make $200,000, $300,000. And so now he's in his second year at Cortland, and he's good. They promoted him to the director of football operations in college. So I have my buddies in the college ranks that are reaching out to me because they thought he was a senior. I said, he's got 2 years left. I told Scott, I said, you have an opportunity to go to college for free. Someone's going to pay you a lot of money because you're good at what you do. So all I try and do is just try and find whose little niches, video, equipment, recruiting, and then just use my knowledge, because unfortunately I didn't get this as a kid. I wasn't around people like me. So I feel obliged that that's kind of my role. That's my job. That's what I have to do, whether I get paid or not.
Yeah, we feel you. We're on the same side with that. And I was thinking, I wrote it down as you were talking, like you said, I got a guy, right? So I definitely want to speak to, because I feel like it's not just a New Jersey, New York thing. We have people listening, Jerry, in Singapore. So shout out to
Singapore. That's awesome. Shout out to Singapore.
What time is it in Singapore?
Are they sleeping in Singapore?
I don't know, but they're going to learn English with a Jersey accent, I think. So it's going to be interesting. But I got a guy. Our networking hand is strong, right? And the relationships that we build have really opens doors more than we think. Can you speak a little bit to the relationship building that coaches may have, that the showcases you run? Can you just talk to the parents a little bit about the organization of it? Because I do feel like so much is behind, I don't want to say it's behind the curtain, like it's a big secret, but it's just a different world. It's just a different solar system that parents, they're just visiting, and when they're visiting and this is their first experience with it, and sometimes it's too late. So what do those look like?
Unfortunately, and then you and I talked about this the other day, and one thing I don't do is I would never bash anybody or talk bad about anybody, because I wouldn't want anyone to do that about me. I know that in the world that we live in, that's what people want to do. They want to try and break you down to kind of get by. In this world, and you're kind of dealing with it too. Everybody goes for the name right now. They want the big name. But you got to do your research, because the big name may not get you what you want. The big name may be really great, and, you know, because everybody else is gone, but everyone's experience is different. So, like, for me personally, like, when we do our camps, I actually just did a video 2 nights ago that one of my guys is going to put out that, and when you see it, it's amazing. I talk about the four things that we put our pride in. And Gladstone Harris, who's an alum at William Patterson, does all my video. So when he puts this thing out, you're going to see, it's like I talk about it, and then it streams in live action of that. So, like, you know, the first thing we talk about is I try and keep the camp numbers low. The idea is to try and make money, but my reputation as a college football coach of 27 years is a lot more important than that.
Right.
And I think that's where it starts for me. For me, I don't look at it as a businessman. I look at it as a coach. So we want to keep our numbers to 1-7, 1-8. So what does that mean? Well, we have a coach, we have 7 players. That player is going to get more reps than if he's in a group with 45 players. I know camps where there's like groups of 45 players, and that kid gets 3 reps. So what happens when the first rep is overthrown, the second rep hits the ground, and the third rep, they blow the whistle because the play didn't start. So you got 0 out of that rep, and you've got nothing. But you went because this was the big ticket item that was going to have 1,000 people, and it was a big name on it, and everybody else is going, so you were just going to follow. Well, that's great. But that's not going to help you recruiting. Once again, that's not me bashing anybody. That's just the reality. Small groups is better. So, like, I'll keep my camps to 150 or less.
I'm going to translate a little bit. So what Jerry is saying is, at these showcase camps, right? It's a camp. It's a combine. It's a camp. It's a showcase. Depending on your, it's a festival. Field hockey, we had festivals, right? It is providing an arena for your kid to showcase what they got, their talent.
Right.
And there's also, there are coaches around, maybe your kid's on a team, maybe they're put onto teams, but there's different ways that kids can participate. And the organizations will invite college recruiters to watch. And it's great. It's very efficient. But in some cases, what Jerry's alluding to is some of these camps are branded and they're fancy. And we're not going to say them because we don't want to get sued. But maybe they're sports branding equipment that we've all seen at Dick's Sporting Goods. And parents think that just because it has that brand name that is on sale at Dick's Sporting Goods that it's good, it doesn't necessarily mean that your kid is going to have enough opportunities to really shine. And you really want to take a look at the infrastructure of the camps. And what Jerry was telling me when we had our phone call a couple of weeks ago, that in some cases, your kids are being evaluated and that information isn't even shared with the families. It's kept, it's their property. It's the property of the camp. And then they will share it with recruiters. Can you talk a little bit about that, Jerry? Because that when you were telling me about that, my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it's to get back to your point about what it is. So in baseball terms, it's every time you get to get a hit. Or in basketball terms, every time you go to shoot a free throw. So that's what we say when we say what a rep is.
A rep.
It's every chance you have to do something. So if you only get five chances in 2 hours, how is that beneficial for $300?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to your point, in terms of what you're asking me, so what happens is like, so we test, for example, at our place. I'm fortunate. I met Mike and Sharon, who own Zybeck Sports. Zybeck Sports is the best in the business as far as I'm concerned. They're trusted by the NFL Scouting Combine for 15 years. So the people testing the best players in the world are Zybeck Sports. Zybeck Sports, they do combines with all sorts of people. Well, those are the same people that come work my camps. So we give the first-class experience to our players. They have something they've trademarked called the Standardized Athlete Test. Or it's the SAT. The same SAT you need to go to college, you need this SAT for college coaches. So college coaches look at measurables. Those are numbers. Those are wingspan and hand size and reach and height and weight. They take all that with the 40 time. And like Zybeck Sports, everything is laser time. So laser time meaning it's not a stopwatch. It's not a cell phone. It's precision
it's metrics.
Exact.
Yeah.
It's exact. So what they do is they have all these numbers. It's an SAT report. And in 24 to 72 hours, as long as I supply them with the emails, those players are going to get their numbers. Well, they're so sufficient that literally they'll leave my event. The testing is over in like an hour. They're driving back to the hotel. And before my players get home, the testing numbers are in their email box.
Unbelievable.
The coaches that work my camp, the testing numbers are in the box. And they have everything in there. They have miles per hour. They measure the same stuff they measure at the NFL Combine, which is why I'm perplexed why you wouldn't want that.
Why wouldn't you want that?
Why wouldn't I have 500 people registered for a camp? But here's the reason why. The reason why a lot of people don't want it is because then you're going to find out what your true worth is.
Right. The buck stops, right? The numbers don't lie.
I've had parents say to me, what happens if he tests bad? Well, then work harder and come again. That's how it works. So if you fail a biology test, you score 29, you're done. That's it. You're out. No, you're going to study harder because you want to get a 75. So the benefit of what we talked about you getting the numbers, or if some of the camps you go to, they don't get the numbers. Well, the same concept if you're taking biology. If you take 10 biology quizzes and you score, you don't know what you score on them and you never get them back and you don't know what you did wrong. And then they give you a final and ask you to take it and you get the same thing. Well, then that's on the teacher or the school because they never shared with what you did wrong. Well, it's the same thing with college recruiting. It's the same thing with testing. So I'll give you the same example I gave you. I have a kid, and it's because of our numbers. And I post it all over social media, so I'm not afraid to do it. And Mike and Sharon want me to do it. I have a young man that played for me in high school that's going to Rhode Island. His first camp with us using the SAT that Zybeck has, he scored a 24 in eighth grade. Now 24 is not very good, but he's an eighth grader. So now that young man worked hard to get to the point where 4 years later, he takes the test at Kane and scores a 61.
Right. There you go. The improvement.
And now as a college coach, you're looking at that. That's an intangible that you can't get when you go to a camp when they time you on a cell phone.
I can't believe people are using cell phones.
I've seen it done. I've seen it.
That's why.
No, but this metric is the same metric as when you want to go to college. So if you're 65 as a freshman in high school, and then you're a 72, and then you're a 79, and then you're an 85. I will tell you, as a college recruiter, an admissions counselor is looking at, wow, that kid is peaking. We got to take that. Even though his GPA is only a 78, as opposed to the kid that starts at 100, goes to an 80, he's at a 60, and it finishes at a 40.
Right.
We don't want that kid. Well, it's the same thing in the athletics world. So we have colleges that saw this. He came from a small high school that, you know, is not a lot of numbers. You know, they don't, you know, not a lot of success, because I coached there. We weren't successful when I was there. But, you know, maybe not a full-time strength coach, not a full-time nutritionist.
Yeah, different
resources. You know, they don't have all that. Yeah. So they're thinking, that college is thinking, wow, we got that. We got a full-time strength coach. We got a full-time nutritionist. So what they do, what a lot of schools have told me they do, is they take my numbers and use them as a benchmark. So if I got a kid that measures at 6'1 and a half, 219, and runs a 4.52 laser, and then that kid goes to a camp and measures at 6'1 and a half, 219, runs a 4.52 laser, there's a really good chance that young man or woman is going to get a scholarship pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Because those numbers match up.
Right.
As opposed to it just happening one time and it's a fluke.
Right, right.
So yeah, those numbers, to your point, that's the reason. So that hopefully that answers your question. So yes, I have families that they come to my camp because they get numbers. There's no secrets. I'm not trying to hide anything. And because I'm using Zybex Sports, they have a power ranking system they use in the NFL. It's the same system they use in the NFL. So how many camps you go to from a football perspective? I don't know how it is for baseball and basketball, but from a football perspective, how many camps do you always see? You never see the linemen in the top 10. You always see quarterbacks, receivers, and DBs. Well, you always see the fast guys. You never see the linemen. Well, the beauty of the power index, which takes into consideration everything from a measurable standpoint, we did a camp last year at Western Connecticut. 7 of my top 10 players were linemen.
Huh.
The top 2 of them went to FCS schools. Division
there you
one
go.
FCS meaning Division I AA
yeah.
schools.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know so you had 7 out of 10 were linemen. That kid that went to Rhode Island was ranked 9th. That kid came back 2 months later, put 14 points on, and finished 61. So the measurables are important. They're not the only thing. The measurables get you in the door. So if you're a basketball player, if you're a baseball player, if you're a hockey player, if you're a golfer, however they measure,
sure,
however they do whatever, that will get you in the door. And now when you're in the door, you got to shoot. You got to block. You got to catch. You got to hit. And if you can't do that, then you're not going to get what you want to get. But at least you get in the door. Because unfortunately, with some of the camps that have 1,000 student athletes, or 2,000, like Mike does, they do a showcase of 2,000. Like, it's predetermined. What parents don't realize is what that is, it's predetermined who the top 10% is before that camp happens.
Wow.
So the top 10% or the top players are on a field with all the bigger schools.
Right. Right.
But you don't know that when you sign up, because you see Nebraska on the flyer. Oh, I want to go to Nebraska.
Yeah, no, it's the same with field hockey. Right. It's like, right. Oh, why am I on the D squad, the A squad, the purple squad?
Why am I on the field that's 17 miles away from campus? Well, yeah. because you're not ready here. Unless you do something astronomically at that camp, you're now working out in front of schools that you can play at.
Right. Well, that's the real. And could we just speak, because we're going to be running out of time, but I do want you to speak to the D1 myth that I feel that parents still have this fantasy that their kid is going to walk on to D1. Can you just talk a little bit about how recruiting is going from not necessarily kids getting recruited from high school, but from junior colleges or from the transfer portal? Can you just give us a quick and dirty on that?
Yeah. I mean, well, the reality is in the South, there's what I found from a friend of mine that's in Alabama. There's a lot of junior colleges down South. A lot of the junior colleges in the North, there's not a lot. you see a lot, like Monroe recently has now transitioned to Division II. Lackawanna has transitioned to Division II. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the post-grads, there's a contingent of post-grads. In, like, there's some in Jersey, you got the PD school, you got the Hunt school, you know, you got the Blair, you got schools like that. And in Connecticut, you have a big league, and you have another big league that kind of goes into Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So what's happened is a lot of kids now are going the PG route, and the reason why is because your clock doesn't start.
Right. And so parents, for the parents who don't know PG is postgraduate, where your high school graduate is going to do a year at a really beautiful, usually very picturesque private school, like something out of a book, something
like a
out of a novel.
School.
Yeah. It's like a boarding school, pretty much. And they're playing their hearts out, whether it's hockey, ice hockey, lacrosse, you name it. And they're playing and they're not starting the clock yet for eligibility, but they're getting bigger, they're getting stronger, and they're getting faster.
Correct. Correct. And if you're in the PG world, if you're there, so if you got grades, if you go to a PG school and you had grades, then more than likely you're taking classes that are going to transfer to when you're in college. If you didn't have grades, you're taking recovery classes to retake those classes, and you're taking SAT prep classes to retake the SAT. So some intangibles happening
to help a lot of growth.
You.
Yeah.
But you're also playing against kids your own age, and your clock doesn't start. So you have that model right now. You have the post-grad model. Now, the flip side to the post-grad model is a lot of the post-grad models, they cost $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. So they cost a lot. So the junior colleges may only cost $20,000 or $25,000. The problem is once you go to junior college, once you take a 12-credit semester in college, that's considered one semester. You're allowed 10 to play 8. So if you burn 2, you now have 8. You burn 4, you have 6. You don't have that problem when you're in a PG. But in terms of like the levels now, it's changed. Like Division I schools that are capped at like 105 scholarships. So you could have 105 on your roster. So some schools, like in, you know, some schools, without mentioning specific schools, some schools will have 105 scholarshipable players. Some schools will have, because of their budget concerns, have 60 players. That means the other 50 are paying bodies, or they're mixing it like 50% academics, 50% paying, or 40% academics, 10% grant, 40% whatever it is. There's some sort of mixture. But like that whole theory now of the preferred walk on, or you hear the PWO all the time, which is from a football perspective, like there used to be walk ons. Period.
Right.
Those almost don't exist anymore because the roster limits. Although some schools, like I know West Point, because I had a kid a couple years ago want to walk on because they do something different in terms of their time span. They had a walk-on tryout. So some schools will have walk-on tryouts for students in-house in the fall, but they're not going to take many. And it's very rare you find a walk-on student getting a scholarship. You can find a PWO getting a scholarship. And then there's the trickle-down effect that you and I have talked about right now.
Yeah.
You have an enormous amount of players in the portal. I think there's maybe 3,000, 4,000, whatever. So you have Division I allotments. Then you have your Division IIs, you have your Division IIIs. So everybody's sliding down. So whoever's not playing one is going down to two. So then whoever's going to two is going to three. There are some ones down at three. The problem is, and we talked about this the other day, the problem is, like, when I was graduated from high school, I was a Division III player. I was a big kid. I was 6'4", 230, but I wasn't anything more than a D3 guy. So if anyone has a son or a daughter that decides now, oh, I want to play football, I want to play a sport, and you decide you want to play, it's very likely you're going to get pushed out by all those other people.
Right.
Because that doesn't exist anymore unless they have unlimited numbers. And who wants to be on a team with 165 players when they only play 22 at a time?
Right.
So there's that whole mantra now where, and you have guys transferring. You have guys going to Division I, they sit the bench for 2 years, they drop down to a Division III so that they can play. They win player of the year, and then they go back up to Division I. Well, they can do that because they were Division I players. Then there's the mantra from the D3 kid that goes to whatever school, and he's there for the semester. And he's like, "Coach, I'm going to the portal. I'm going to Nebraska." That's not how it works, dude. Like, it doesn't work that way. You know, you can't go up unless you've been up or
right.
you've been there.
Yeah.
You know, like if you get a PWO, if you get offered, I had a kid that got a preferred walk on it at school X, and then he wanted to leave and go to another school. So the parents didn't understand why he didn't qualify for a scholarship somewhere. Like with PWO here, the best you can do is a PWO here. Like you can use that as an investment to maybe get something at Division II or Division III because you're up here, but you're not going to get that. It doesn't work that way. There aren't many PWOs that are going to portal that are getting scholarships at Texas Tech, because that means that the staff he was at, not very good if they didn't give the kid a scholarship. And that very rarely happens.
So, much, so no. Like,
yeah, it's just crazy. The whole thing is nuts.
But I also think, Jerry, and we're going to wrap with this because I feel like you are such a perfect advocate for students. And I know there's more Jerry Flores in the world, but we love our Jerry Flores. So, Jerry, can you just tell us a little bit about how our parents could find you? Because you're a great resource. You are family first. It is abundantly clear, and you're changing lives with the programs that you have. I see it on LinkedIn, and it's incredible. So you just tell our families where they could find you.
Yeah, my website is my name. It's jerryfloraink.com, JERRYFLORA, no spaces, INC.com. You can read Sean Callanan, who really did a really good job with my website. I wanted to have a website that kind of was a one-stop shop. So you can go on there and you can read my bio about my experience. You can see my staff that I work with. You'll see some credible people. You'll also see there's a page of all my alumni. So I take great credit, great pride in all my players that go to college. I monitor them every single year. I'll change their photos. I'll change when they graduate because I take a lot of pride in that. You could see current players we're working with, and you can read some stories about, you know, some of the things we've done. And then we offer a bunch of, you know, free things. Like what I've been offering recently is the kids that don't know about their NCAA number. What I do is I give them a link that goes to my page. So the first inclination of a kid is, well, what's it going to cost? I said, it's free. And then the kid responded back. So, well, what's in it for you? I said, nothing. I'm giving you the information. So if you want me to charge you, I could charge you, but I'm giving it to you for free.
Right, right.
I said, here's the link. So go there. They're going to ask you for your name. You can put your name in. And then I have a PDF there of everything you need to know about the clearinghouse.
Perfect. And we'll put a link in our podcast media for your stuff, because their parents are going to need it. And I think also listening to us talk about it is one thing, but then when parents also see it, they can kind of ingest it, get a little more acquainted with the material, because it's a lot.
The other two things I just want to quick piggyback on is, so we're doing a junior combine in Jersey at the NJ Turf Academy on Monday, June 15th. What the idea behind that is, that's boys and girls. It's not sports specific. So you could have a tennis girl, you could have a boys golf player, you could have a girls ice hockey player. It's not football specific. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring Zybex Sports in. You're going to get the same measurements they get at the NFL Combine. The goal is we want to get third to eighth graders. We want to get third graders there because in my mind, those players keep coming back every year. We could see the full evolution. So we're doing metrics. We're teaching you how to do the testing, because we see high school kids that don't know how to do a 5-10-5. They don't know how to run. They don't have to do an algebra, how to do a vertical. So we teach you, we test you, then there's a little competition. So it'll be a nice night for third to eighth grade boys and girls. And then the other thing we're doing now is we're doing girls flag football. There's over 100 schools in the country right now for girls flag football. At some point, you'll get Division I schools offering scholarships. There could be NIL money involved at some point. I mean, they're projecting next year 200, and 2 years they're projecting maybe 300 schools having. And right now, it's not. There really is no Division I, Division II, Division III. Like the Jets have sponsored this league in the Northeast called the ECAC. So if you go onto the site, you'll see Sacred Hearts and Rutgers, and then you'll see schools like Mercy and Caldwell and. So they're all kind of playing each other right now. So we're doing a girls boys showcase on Long Island May 30th. And we have four colleges committed so far for that. And then we're doing a girls-only showcase for classes 27 to 30 on Sunday, June 28th in New Rochelle, the same place we're doing the boys showcase in 2 weeks. And we got three schools committed for that. And the last thing that we started to do is collaborating. So not every school will be able to come. So because I have so many connections, I'm able to reach out to people that I know and basically say, listen, we will share with you the numbers from our camp. We just want to say that we're collaborating with you. So what that means, what the person that doesn't understand that, is if I'm collaborating with Tara, for example, then I say, Tara's at X University, she's the head coach. So now you can go on the social media and find Tara, follow her, send her a note, say, oh, by the way, I'm going to be at Coach Flores' camp in 2 weeks. We're excited that you're going to get our information. So that when they come back and say, oh, I spoke to Coach Flora, then that validates that we're doing something real. Because right. There are some people that just put names on a flyer and say that people are going to be there and they're not. And once again, that's not something I can do because of my pride and because of who I am. So,
yeah. I think in both on our different worlds, we operate with our compass pointing true north ethically. And we're able to sleep at night. So saying that, we are kind of late right now. So we do want to thank you so much for joining us in the carpool today, Jerry. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Horitz.
And thanks for joining us on From Carpool to College.
Thank you for listening to From Carpool to College. We never want parents to say, I wish I knew then what I know now. If today's conversation gave you clarity or direction, we invite you to explore more at FromCarpoolToCollege.com. And if your family is looking for personalized college and career planning support, visit AcademicMentoringLLC.com to learn how we guide students and their families through this process with intention and strategy. From Carpool to College is proud to be a member of the Forward Ed Network, amplifying conversations that support students, families, and educators. As you navigate what's ahead, remember, you don't have to do it alone.